Welcome to the podcast of Revival Life Church, a spirit-filled multicultural church in Boca Raton, Florida. If you'd like more information about Revival Life Church or Pastor Carl Thomas, find us on the web at revivallifechurch.org.
Kellyanne, are you in here? She's out drinking coffee. She thinks she's in California. Every time I see Travis, I say, man, y'all might be on the wrong coast. I don't know. I have a word for you, and I'm going to give it right now. Is that okay? Is that okay? Stand for me if you would. It'll be on the podcast, but you can record it. Are you guys okay? We're running a little late here, but we're waiting for Jesus either way, right? How you feeling? You enjoying life? Yeah, I have kind of a funny word the Lord gave me, but it's not ha-ha funny. The Lord showed me that you're supposed to carry it. We prayed over the offering. Oh, no, we're doing another one. I'm sorry. The Lord showed me that you're supposed to carry a two-edged sword, like a broadsword, and you probably know that already. The funny part that he showed me was you've worked very hard at sharpening one side of it, and he showed me that one side is very, very, very sharp. And the other side is not as sharp. And so you have done a lot for the Lord, and you've seen success in the Spirit. But it's not the fullness of what God has called you to, because there's a whole other side of the sword he wants to sharpen. And at times, it might feel like that you are not in what God has called you to do. It's because you're in the other side sword sharpening area. You're like, I may not see the progress. I may not see how God used me before. I'm not seeing, it's not as efficient. It's not maybe as productive is the word I'm looking for. I feel like maybe you're in an unproductive place. It's because God has moved you in a place that you need another blade that's sharp. You have a dull blade in an area that's, you know what I mean? And it's not dull in the sense that you've dulled your senses to the Lord. You know, it's not that at all. It's that the Lord is now sharpening another side. And that only happens through friction. Right? Yeah, there is. It takes friction to sharpen that. And so here you are in a place of grinding. You know, it's funny that we cry out to God, use me, use me, use me, and then things don't go well. We're like, why is this so difficult, Lord? I'm teaching you how to let me use you. That's not easy. And so I just feel like in this season, it's going to be almost different, like opposite of other seasons, because you thought you were on the you're in the groove, like, all right, we're in the groove. Now we're, and you're like, now, what happened to the groove? Because you weren't supposed to stay in that groove. You're learning the other side. It all comes together at one point. At some point down in the future, it all converges. But right now, that's just what the Lord showed me. So we just bless you in that.
Amen.
Amen. Stay the road. You guys good?
Yeah.
I just take that for me. Every area that's difficult, the Lord is sharpening me to master.
Amen.
Amen. So let's stand. We're gonna have our building offering. We even have a fancy graphic where you do something.
Yeah.
It's for our offices. We're gonna redo our offices. Man, who was there Friday night?
Yeah. Woo!
That was redonkulous, wasn't it? That was something. I have pictures that I didn't post that I could. Can I tell you something real quick about it? That was kind of funny. You guys like funny or no?
Yeah.
There was a point where the Spirit of the Lord was so strong, everybody was on the ground, and people couldn't get to the mic to pray for it, because if they got close to it, they'd fall on the ground. That's all I'll say about that. I was going to say a funny thing. All right, so hold your offering in here. Father, we thank you for what you're going to do in this office. We thank you for all the stuff. We thank you for the Holy Ghost hookup on the stuff we need. We pray that you would bless these givers and bless the gift. In Jesus' name, amen. Can you bring your offering up real quick?
If you were...
Oh, yeah, if you're going to give online, please put something in the notes. Put building or special offering or something. That would be helpful. You think so? All right. While you're giving, I have one more announcement. I know this is going forever this morning, isn't it? Keep my family in prayer this week, because we're going to be going on a mission trip of our own. We're going on a mission trip to Key West and then Cancun via Cozumel via Carnival. cruise lines. So just keep us in prayer. We'll be back at the end of the week. And next Sunday, we have a special guest speaker that we have not announced as of yet. I'm very excited about it. And so that's going to be good. All right, so Father, bless this offering.
Yeah.
Multiply. Amen. What's up? I'm sorry, what? New the what? Oh, you want to know who the speaker is?
Yeah.
It's Diane St. Savage. It's going to be very good. If you've ever seen her preach, you're going to be excited about that. You're going to come ready to receive. Come hungry. Might want to fast between now and then to be able to receive all that she's going to be pouring out. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. If you got a Bible, go ahead and turn to the book of Genesis, which is easy because it's the first one. We're going to go to Genesis chapter 32. If you don't know where it is, you can look spiritual today. Can I tell you, don't be embarrassed to use the index of your Bible. You ever been that dude? You don't want anybody to know. You don't know where, like, 1 John is. You're like, I got this. I just wanted to see what, you know, what Peter was talking about for a second. I just, why do I say 1 John? I know I'm going from Revelation to Hebrews. I know I'm going back. I'm narrowing it down. I'm choosing the index. Nobody cares. They don't think of that spiritual anyways. If I can just be honest, nobody's impressed. I got a simple word. I'm going to try to share it simply. Some of you have been going through some things. Anybody been going through some things? Has anybody never gone through anything? Because we can change that today. We can change that. We can give you fresh opportunity to go through things right now. But, you know, sometimes, you know, when you walk with Jesus for a little bit, you can see seasons shift.
Yeah.
Right? When you follow God long enough, you can see the shift in a season. And kind of like the word that Kellyanne got, when the season shifts a little bit, everything doesn't actually work like it used to.
Yeah.
Are you with me?
Yeah.
Sometimes things, they don't work like they used to because you're in a new season. Now, I'm here to let you know that not only does God orchestrate the season shift, but the enemy sees it.
Wow.
And often, when the enemy sees the season shift, he knows what's coming, and so he works extra hard to get you discouraged.
Wow.
You know, your emotions are a really bad indicator of what's going on around you. They're a really bad indicator of what's happening. And let me tell you, disappointment is almost always a liar.
Oh, that's a good word.
And discouragement is never the truth. I can give you the real short version of this message that says, you know, Jesus is on the throne, so there's never a reason to really be discouraged. But I'm going to preach that a little bit. But, you know, discouragement is never, almost never, that you know, Jesus believes good things about your future.
Come on.
The enemy wants to color how you see the season that you're in. That's the only power he has over you. But let's get the scriptures and we'll talk about this a little bit. Genesis chapter 32. Now, you gotta understand, Genesis, this is a story of this dude named Jacob. Who knows about Jacob?
Yeah, yeah.
Now, you've probably heard this message a lot, and I just want to touch on it and then go somewhere else. We're going to start in Genesis, we're going to jump to Joshua, and then we're going to fly to heaven together, okay?
Amen.
Genesis chapter 32. You know, Jacob, he wasn't the greatest man of character. Jacob had some character issues, just like some of us when we came to Christ. We got some character issues, and working those character issues out is sometimes painful. Sometimes when we work out these character issues, things don't work out in the meantime. You know, I found that when I got saved, you know, I didn't live a great life before that. I lived kind of a dirty life. Like, I did dirt, lived in dirt, did not hope the best, didn't always do the best, not really trustworthy. And, you know, we live this way for a reason. We don't live lives of faith because we don't have faith.
Right.
And we don't live lives being trustworthy because we don't really trust.
Yeah.
And for someone who never trusted, it's sometimes it can be hard to trust. Anybody know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
When we have been conditioned in our environment to not be trustful, it's often difficult to shift that.
Yeah.
And if we've learned to not be trustful, then we're rarely trustworthy. Because we have an underlying belief that words don't really mean what people say they mean. And so we say things that we don't really mean. Because that's the paradigm we operate in. If we operate in a paradigm that people aren't trustworthy, then we're rarely find a reason to be trustworthy. And when God starts putting his finger on that thing, you know, we just walk along like things are fine, and then God one day just puts his finger on something. Like, I've always operated like this. I got to check on my spirit all of a sudden about that one. I don't understand. I've always done this, though. Sometimes you tell your testimony, and you kind of color part of it. You know, I'm amazed at how many people get saved who were like the worst drug dealer ever in the world and biggest gangster ever.
Yeah.
None of their family knew that. There's nothing wrong with just, you know, I wasn't living for God and now I am.
Right.
And at some point you'll be telling a story and you'll tell like you've always told it and the Holy Ghost will be like, you know, that's not really true, right? You know, that's not really true what you just said. You're like, but I've always done that, God. And God just put his finger on it. Are you with me?
Yeah.
And so God wants to bring you into his greater glory. He wants to bring you into another realm of living a holy life. And a holy life is just walking free of the encumbrance of sin.
Yeah.
All right. Well, God was trying to do that in Jacob. And Jacob had a little beef with his brother Esau. And I don't have the time to get into all the particulars of that. But Jacob liked to run away from problems a lot. He liked to not really engage in them and be healthy in how he dealt with them. And so we pick up the story in Genesis chapter 32, verse 22. Jacob is in the midst of running from his problems. Okay, you with me?
Yeah.
All right, let's read the Bible, shall we? It says, now he arose, because you know, he went to sleep. Now he arose that same night and took his two wives and his two maids and his 11 children and crossed the ford of Jabbok. Now how many of you know if you got two wives, you've got problems? You got problems. Good Lord. I know very few men who manage one well. Are you with me, Henry? You know what I'm talking about. And there's no wrong with women. It is not easy. It is not easy. And you ever see these despicable shows on TV? You know, man not taking care of five wives? Like, good Lord, what is wrong with you people? I'm sorry, if you have five wives, I don't mean to offend you every day. How'd you like to be wife number four? You're special, honey. You're the only fourth wife I have. Tonight's your night. No thanks, Grant. You know, I'm like, no thanks. Edited that out. Mark that time and edit. When we go live with this church, we'll have all these things worked out, right? So he took his two wives and all these people and he crossed the river, okay? Verse 23. He took them and sent them across the stream and he sent across whatever he had. Then Jacob was left alone and a man wrestled with him until daybreak. Verse 25. When he saw that he had not prevailed against them, he touched the socket of his thigh. Now, the hymns here get confusing. All right? It gets confusing here. So it's like when the man, right? It says, when the man saw that he had not prevailed against Jacob, he touched the socket of Jacob's thigh. So the socket of Jacob's thigh was dislocated when he wrestled with him. Then he said, let me go, for the dawn is breaking. But he said, I will not let you go unless you bless me. Jacob wanted to be blessed. So he said to him, what's your name? And Jacob said, Jacob. And the man said, your name shall no longer be Jacob, but Israel. For you have striven with the Lord, with God and with men, and have prevailed. 29. Then Jacob asked the man and said, please tell me your name. The man said, why is it that you ask my name? And he blessed him there. So Jacob named the place Peniel, for he said, I have seen God face to face, yet my life has been preserved. Now the sun rose upon him just as he crossed over, and he was limping on his thigh. Can you say amen to the reading of the Word of God?
Amen.
Hallelujah. Now, here's what I want to show you in this thing, and I'm going to say it very briefly. There's a billion sermons preached on this scripture, and 999 million of them are the same. I could just play a tape of any sermon on this, and you would have already heard it. Something a little different I want to talk about today. And here is the point I want to make. Sometimes, oftentimes, every time, in fact, crisis brings opportunity. Crisis, write it down, crisis brings opportunity. The enemy wants to teach you that crisis means calamity, that conflict means fight, that if you're in a conflict or you're in a crisis, there has to be a winner and there has to be a loser. And in the world, that is true. In the kingdom of heaven, it is not true. In the kingdom of heaven, we get saved and there is no loser.
Right. Come on. Right.
When I get blessed by God, it's not like God now has less resources. There's only an increase in the kingdom of heaven. So in the world, conflict is to be avoided at every cost because at the end of conflict, there will be a winner and there will be a loser. But the Bible says, if your brother is caught up in sin, go to him. And if he repents, you gain the brother. There's no loser there. Say, there's conflict between me and my brother right now. That's a crisis. And the world says, let's avoid him. And maybe the problem goes away. And the kingdom says, we don't distance ourselves from people in crisis because there's an opportunity to win somebody to the goodness of God. Are you with me?
Yeah.
Are you guys with me here?
Yeah. All
right, I have a point. I hope you're with us. Many of you are in this season of transition. Many in this house are in a strong season of transition. And like we talked about last week, we want different fruit, but often we don't want to change our tree that produces the fruit. But many of you are in a season of transition. You're transitioning as that tree, bringing forth good fruit. And it's painful. You're in a crisis season. You're in a season where you don't know the seasons anymore. You don't understand the weather patterns. You just don't, like...
Yeah.
Let me tell you, you know you're in a place where you don't even know if you hear God.
Right.
If you've ever been there, you know what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
You just get to a place where, like, I don't even know if I hear God. I don't see anything I thought I was going to see in this season.
Yeah.
I don't see all the plans I had. I'm going to go there and this is going to happen and none of that happened.
Yeah.
Like, I don't even know. I don't know. All I know is Jesus, I'm following you, but I don't even know where we're going.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You're in a good place. You're in a good place because crisis brings opportunity.
Amen.
As we look at this story, we see Jacob, and if you study the scripture, this is the angel of the Lord. Man, you can prove this biblically. This is Jesus that came and encountered him. The angel of the Lord is the pre-incarnate Christ. But Jacob is here, and Jacob has always run from his problems. He's a runner, you know. In the beginning, you know, his name even means heel grabber, the supplanter. The one who takes advantage of others and steals from them. That was his name. And he lived that destiny out in his life. And so when conflict came, he didn't know how to bring healthy conflict because he was always trying to get over for himself. And that's a hard process to come out of. And the Lord wanted to deliver him of that. And so he's here with this angel. And the Bible tells us in verse 24, it says, Jacob was left alone. And a man wrestled with him until daybreak. Let me tell you what the Lord showed me when I read that. The Lord said there's many people in this house who've been wrestling with God for a long time. Let me tell you the difference between wrestling and fighting. When I'm fighting with someone, my daughter and I were watching boxing the other day. And this that might sound crazy. Like, why is my girly girl, 11-year-old daughter, watching boxing with her dad? And I didn't know any of the fighters. But when you live a prophetic life, things in your life are all prophetic. So I'm sitting with my daughter watching boxing, asking the Holy Ghost, why are we watching boxing? And so, you know, as fighters do, to strike someone, okay, I'm not a boxer. I know I get that a lot. I get that a lot. But no, I'm actually not. Kevin, can you come up? Kevin is like my go-to guy. Stay right here if you would. Okay, now, we're watching this boxing match, right? And is the hair okay? I'm sorry. So, when you're boxing, come on over here, please. Okay. The whole point of boxing is punching somebody hard enough to knock them out, right? Right? And to do that, hear me, you have to be far enough away to strike them.
Right.
Okay? So I'm watching this boxing match, and the guy, one guy was a great puncher, I'm not going to hit you, I'm not going to hit you here. And he kept pulling the guy in, and he kept trying to hit. And the commentators kept saying, he's not getting enough distance to hit him.
Yeah.
He keeps getting too close, so he's getting punched, and he strengthens his punches, right? The whole point of fighting is to be far enough from someone to hit them.
Yeah.
In order to fight with someone, you can't be close.
Yeah.
Right? The first thing you have to do if you're going to really box somebody is you have to create distance.
Yeah.
That'll preach right there. We're not going to make it preach. You have to have distance. But this guy kept smothering. Here's the difference in wrestling. In wrestling, you have to stay close.
Yeah.
Now, if Kevin wants to leave this fight and we're fighting, he can turn around and run.
Yeah.
Right? Now, if we're wrestling, he has to get advantage just to leave the fight.
Yeah.
It says that Jacob was wrestling with the angel.
Yeah.
And many people are wrestling with God trying to get advantage.
Yeah.
Why aren't you doing what I want you to do? You see, the whole point of wrestling is not to knock somebody out. Is to make them submit to you.
Wow.
That's why they call it submission.
Yeah.
And many people keep God close, but the point of keeping God close is to make him do what you want him to do.
Wow.
You don't plan on running from him, neither do you plan on submitting to him. And so they keep him close. And it says that Jacob was wrestling with him all night long. All night long he wrestled with him, kept him close, and he didn't get advantage on him, right? All night this happened. And, you know, we get very frustrated that God isn't doing what we want him to do. I came here, and I brought you with me, God. Why aren't you submitting? Why are you not producing the fruit I want you to produce? And so then what's our next option? Stick around and be discouraged or keep distance? You see, the natural enemies in your life, the people you don't get along with, they want you to be fearful of them. They want to create fear so you can keep distance. And so what they do, they throw lobs of gossip and accusation that even when they're not around, they're striking you. They don't want to be close. They don't want to stay close. Just lay down, Kevin. You're making it sleep. So let's keep reading. Do you mind? When the angel saw that he had not prevailed against Jacob, he touched the socket of his thigh. So the socket of Jacob's thigh was dislocated while he wrestled with him. My wife and I have a good friend who's actually a pastor and he planted a church in Raleigh area, and he was an Olympic wrestler, and he was at the final round of qualifying for the Olympic team, and he blew out his leg at the final match that he needed to prevail to get in the Olympics. And as soon as that happened, they knew the wrestling match was over. He tried to fight, but it was, you can't do anything, you no longer have any leverage. You see, The muscles surrounding your hip are the strongest muscles in your body. Right? That's your greatest natural strength. It says here that the angel touched his hip. So the socket was dislocated. What the angel did was, I am going to weaken your strongest natural strength. And so many of you have cried out to God, God, I want you to use me. I want to be in this new season. I want whatever. And we're so leaning on our own strength.
Wow.
And we've not been able to see the God strength in our life.
Wow.
And so we've been wrestling, scared of not producing what we've always produced.
Wow.
And the Lord is like, I don't want that to be fruitful anymore.
Yeah.
See, that is part of your identity. For many of you, that's part of your identity.
Wow.
Hear me. Your greatest natural strength is part of your identity. But God is not trying to produce that. Part of Jacob's greatest strength was his supplanting and running.
Wow.
And the Lord touched his head and said, you're not going to do that anymore. Let's keep looking at the scripture if you don't mind. Verse 27. So the angel said to him, what is your name? And he said, Jacob. I'm Jacob. I'm the supplanter. I'm the heel grabber. I'm the one who strikes and runs. This is who I am. Wow. The angel said, no. Your name shall no longer be Jacob, but Israel. Now, here's what's interesting about this. Jacob means supplanter, you know, trickster, heel grabber. But he said, your name will be Israel. Now, Israel means Prince of God. Prince of God. He went from someone who tries to steal other people's blessings and was really not honorable, right?
Yeah.
And then he named the whole movement after him. The whole people of God are called Israel.
Yeah.
After this man who came with this bad testimony. But Jesus had to touch his greatest natural strength before that could happen. You know, he went from leaning, being identified with his natural strength, to saying, I now can only operate in my God-given identity. And that can be very uncomfortable.
Wow.
Because for so long, let me touch a couple things if you don't mind. For so long, your identity has been wrapped up in you being cute. Or your ability to make money. Or your voice, or your singing ability, your musical ability, your athletic talent. And the Lord is like, I'm going to have to touch that now. You know, it's hard for some people because they're always a funny guy. And God's like, I got to touch that. Or you're always the complainer. God's like, I got to touch that for you to come into your new identity. You're always the leader, and God says, I'm going to bring you a season of being a follower. Because I need you to come into your God-given identity. You see, he says to Jacob, listen, you can't run anymore. You can't create distance. I've got to make it so that you have to stand and trust me. I'll touch your hip. You can't run away anymore. You're going to have to deal with some problems that you've been avoiding. See, when you're a great runner, you can always run from the problem. Some people, they run from problems by telling a joke.
Yeah.
Some people run from problems by being rude. Some people run from problems by isolation or indifference, or some of you even run from problems by being a perfectionist. I'll work real hard to make sure there aren't any problems. You can never be too perfect for God to come in and uncover something. Hear me. And it's not because God wants you to be uncomfortable. He's trying to get you into your God-given identity, and that is uncomfortable sometimes. You see, we get fearful. If the enemy can create fear, we'll create distance.
Wow.
The enemy doesn't even have to cause division. He just causes fear. Oh, I heard you don't like me. Oh, I heard they were talking about me. Oh, I heard they're angry with me. I'm going to keep waiting. We had a meeting with our leaders recently. We said, you know, the enemy wants to sow division, but we're not going to let it happen. You can leave me if you want, but I'm not going to leave you.
Yeah. Come on.
You can gossip about me, but I'm not going to return it. I'm just going to be in love. If you want to run, then you're allowed to. But I'm not going to cause division. I'm not going to cause separation. I'm not going to cause fear in the relationship. When God touches a hip socket, how many of you know if you can't run, you got to learn how to talk? You got to learn how to talk. I told him to stay up there. Anybody hear what I'm saying?
Yeah.
If you live in a schoolyard full of bullies, you got to learn how to talk.
Yeah.
Let me just say this before I transition. Your carnal ambitions come from the world. God is after them. You see, right here in this house, and houses all over the planet, but right here in this house, God is raising up people who are singular in focus.
Come on.
See, in the spirit of this age will tell you that what you're accomplishing in God's kingdom does not have value. That you need to be valuable in the world's eyes. And the only way to do that is to create distance between you and following God. You hear what I'm telling you? The only way to measure your success is how big is your house? How much money are you making? Ladies, some of you, how many kids are you raising? Or heaven doesn't even count things this way. Hear me. Heaven doesn't count things this way. The world doesn't understand what God has spoken to you. Are you hearing me?
Yeah.
The world does not understand the dreams that heaven has placed in your heart.
Yeah.
And the world has a checklist of what you're supposed to accomplish because they have a system of getting over on you.
Yeah.
And if you don't play according to their system, then they lose value. I'm not living this world to be rich.
Yeah.
I'm not living in this world that make everybody think that I'm whatever.
Yeah.
I'm not living for popularity. These are not goals of mine. And you can't do both. You can't serve God and this world. It just won't work. Anybody hear what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Has anybody tried? It failed.
Yeah.
It doesn't work. Hear me. I'm not saying you have to be poor to follow Jesus. That's not what I'm saying. I'm saying if you're looking for the world's applause and God's applause, it just doesn't work. If God wants to make you famous, He'll do it all on His own.
Yeah.
You'll never have to compromise to do it. You'll never have to compromise to fulfill God's plan. Well, I'm supposed to do this. Well, you're not supposed to be half naked.
Yeah.
Amen.
I'm seeing stuff only your husband's supposed to see.
Yeah.
I'm not trying to impose some sort of exterior morality on you. That's not what I'm saying. I'm not saying we have a dress code in heaven. That's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is you will not have to compromise morality to follow God.
Yeah.
Say, well, if I don't do this, then they won't. Well, if they're your God, that's important, I guess.
Yeah.
But God can do whatever He wants with your life.
Yeah.
There are so many godly businesses that follow godly principles that God has promoted because He can trust them.
Yeah.
They don't have to compromise. You don't have to compromise to be successful in God's eyes.
Yeah.
But you have to compromise the world system.
Yeah.
How do you do that? Well, God spoke this very clearly to a man named Joshua. Now, Joshua had walked in the footsteps of one of the greatest men ever, Moses. Now, again, Moses is fairly important in this faith that we have. He's a pretty important guy. Wrote the first five books. So he's pretty important. And Moses, of course, led the people out. He was a great Messiah figure for the people of Israel who were enslaved. And Moses had led the people out of bondage almost into the promised land. And he saw God on the mountain and wrote the Ten Commandments and was a mouthpiece of God and just did amazing things, right? You don't want to come on after Him, basically.
Yeah.
Right? You don't mind being His opening act, but you don't want to follow Him.
Yeah.
Anybody know what I'm saying? But here we see Joshua, the book of Joshua, if you turn there with me. Joshua chapter 1, we're going to start at the very beginning of the book, Joshua chapter 1. Let's in the beginning, verse 1, it says that God spoke to Joshua. So we know the words that follow that are pretty important. God spoke to Joshua, verse 2, He says, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now there's pointing out the obvious for you right there. But sometimes God has to point out the obvious to us. Moses, my servant, is dead. He says, basically, following Him is not going to be fruitful anymore. Because He's dead. You might romance that something that you are doing and following is not working right now, but it might come back to life one day. It's dead. You might have loved something about your life before Christ, and you're like, maybe I'll be popular like that again. That ungodly dream that I had, maybe somehow God will sanctify it. It's dead. Do you hear me?
Yeah.
It is dead. God may want to bring you something similar, but that is dead. He says, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore, get up. Cross the Jordan, you and all the people, to the land which I'm giving to them, to the sons of Israel. You have to remember that on the other side of that river, they thought there were giants who want to kill them. And so Moses is dead. Joshua didn't know what to do. The leader is gone. God comes and says, in case you haven't figured this out, I still told you guys to go over there. then that guy you thought you were following is dead. But that does not cancel my word over your life. Do you hear what I'm telling you? Some of you, you thought you were to come to something a certain way and that thing died, and so you think the dream or the call has died. God is saying, that thing is dead. You're still going to get into that. You're still going to fulfill the call. You may have poured yourself into a church plant and the church plant died. God says, that church is dead. Now come on and fulfill the call I told you to do. You may have thought that someone was going to disciple you and they weren't even nice to you, and now they're not even following Jesus. God says, they are dead. Now come and fulfill the call I placed on your life. You might have started a business thinking, this is what God is going to use to propel me into my entrepreneurial call, and the business fails. God says, the business is dead. Now get up and do what I told you to do. Anybody hear what I'm saying right now? Come on. Yeah. Come on. You got to get up and do what God has called you to do, because He does not need a man to fulfill your call. Do you hear what I'm telling you? He does not need a man. He does not need a particular church. Doesn't need a particular anything to fulfill what He has called you to do. They had to replace Moses. A fairly big deal. He was it. That was Moses. That's all there is. Moses. And then there's all these crumbs. You know, that's it. Like, Moses is gone. What do we do? He's like, he's dead. Now get up and go.
Yeah.
Come on. You hear me?
Yeah.
So he tells him, get up. And in verse 3, he basically says, every place you go, it's yours. How many of you know if he had stayed there, nothing would have been theirs?
Come on.
Get up and go, and where you go is yours. Come on now. Verse 4, he's like everywhere, all over the place. Starts listing places. He's like, here and there. He's like, everywhere you go. Verse 5, no man will be able to stand before you all the days of your life, just as I've been with Moses. I'll be with you. I will not fail you or forsake you. That's a good word right there, right? And so you hear that, and all of a sudden you're like, the problems are gone. God's with me. He told me to do something. I am in Moses. Better recognize, right? Do I get a veil to cover my face from the glowing beauty? Do I go on the mountain and write some more laws? What do I do? This is awesome. This is going to be amazing. I'm Moses. What's the next thing he tells him? Be strong and courageous. Well, what do I need that for? I don't understand what I would need courage and strength for if you told me you're going to be with me. It's all easy now, right? No, see, it doesn't work that way. God wants to take over the world.
Amen.
Through you. But if he doesn't go, the land isn't his. And how many of you know there's already people in the land who think it's theirs?
Yeah.
And they don't necessarily want to give up the land.
Yeah.
Are you with me?
Yeah.
And so he doesn't say, you know, you better figure out a good plan. He's like, no, I got the plan. You have to be courageous. Fear wants distance. Love embraces. God says, I want you to be courageous and not create distance between you and the very difficult thing I've called you to do. Fear is a thief. He says, be strong and courageous, for you shall give this people possession of the land which I swore to their fathers to give them. Hear this. Who's going to give the people the land? Let's read it again. No, let's read it. Let's read it. You ready? Verse 6. Let's read it together out loud. You ready? Be strong and courageous, for
you.
How's he going to give it to them if he doesn't take possession of it? See, some of you have not come into your call if you haven't taken possession of it. You haven't owned it. You haven't said, if this is going to happen, I need to get busy. I need to deal with the issues that are keeping me from my call. I need to be, there's fear in my heart that's keeping me from my call. Come on, let's read it together. All these people aren't going to be in the land if Joshua doesn't take it, right? 7, ready? Verse 7. He says, well, let's read 6 again. Be strong and courageous, for you shall give this people possession of the land which I swore to their fathers to give them. Verse 7, only be strong and very courageous. Oh, goodness. Now the courage factor has to come up a little bit now, right? He was just prepping him originally with strong and courageous. He's like, actually, not just strong and courageous, but you're actually going to have to be strong and very courageous. Oh, Lord. Be strong and very courageous. And then he says, be careful to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded you. He says, don't turn left or right. And then he says all that. And in verse 9, let's skip ahead to verse 9. He says, have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Your God is with you. He says, be strong and courageous. Don't tremble or be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. I'm about to finish here in a second here. Leave that verse up. I want to show you something here. The way the enemy chokes out your strength and your courage is by getting you dismayed. He says, don't be dismayed. The last time he told him to be strong and courageous, he says, listen, do what I told you to do. Follow the law. Do what I told you to do. Listen, don't be discouraged. You see, we get discouraged when we stop doing what God told us to do because we're not getting the fruit we thought we were going to get. And so all of a sudden, we're all, oh, I guess this system didn't work. Maybe I didn't hear God right. I'm not getting the fruit I thought I was going to get. Maybe that was all fantasy. All these people let me down. They failed me. I'm so disappointed in them. They think they're all that, but I didn't get what I thought I was going to get. They may not be that great. Not you. Not you. See, you are here because you're called to be strong and courageous.
Yes.
Hear me. You are called to not be Jacob, but Israel.
Come on.
Too many of you are walking around with a spirit of Jacob. I've been having to scam my way through this life, and I'm having to scam my way through right now. If I don't grind it out, I'm not going to get anything. And I'm here to let you know God calls you a prince.
Yeah.
God calls you a princess. And you've been running and running and running, and you're like, why am I in this season that I'm not getting the fruit I want to see? Why does it feel like I'm spinning my wheels? Why does it feel like I'm not getting the things that God promised me? Why does it feel like I'm not maturing? And why am I not getting the stuff other people are getting? And God is like, in this season, I had to touch your hip.
Hallelujah.
I can't let you run from what I've called you to do, God is saying. I've made it impossible for you to run. Jesus said to the disciples, he said, listen, all those people left me. You're going to leave me too. Where are we going to go? Where are we going to go? So you're in too far now. You're in too deep. You can't turn back if you wanted to. Back if you wanted to. It's a mic in there. And so now you're stuck. Man, I'm giving my life to Jesus. I'm just serving him all the time, and now I'm not making all this money, and I feel like I'm not getting what the world has. I said, what's going on? And God's like, yeah, I'm trying to touch your head.
Come on.
Hallelujah.
See, God is trying to get you to stay in one place long enough so we can bless the land underneath you.
Wow.
You've got to possess something to own it. You got to be there long enough to possess it. Some of you have been running hither and thither from this blessing and that blessing and tossed to and fro by every wind of doctrine. Maybe my blessing's over here. Maybe I'm blessed with that person. Maybe I'm blessed with this teaching. Maybe I'm going to go to this business and go to that job. Go. No, he's like, just, you stay still long enough, I'll give you possession of the land.
Glory.
See, he's trying to work fear out of you. Let faith rise. Over and over again, he says to Joshua, says it again in verse 18. He says, anyone who rebels against your command and does not obey your words and all that you command them shall be put to death. You're like, well, that sounds good. Only be strong and courageous. I'm like, why? If you're going to kill them. Joshua 10:25. Joshua then said to them, to his people. Listen, he internalized it at this point. And now he's teaching it. He says to his people, do not fear or be dismayed. Be strong and courageous. For thus the Lord will do to all your enemies with whom you fight. Listen, God is trying to get this message in you so you can be a mouthpiece of his message to this world.
Amen.
But you got to stay still long enough. Come, Mike. You got to stay still long enough for him to work out in you.
Hallelujah.
Be encouraged, church. Be encouraged, church. Be encouraged. You're in a season of struggle. And I just... let me say this. I'm going to let you go. We're running late. I'm sorry. Am I sorry, Mike? I'm not sorry. I said this to our crew this morning. I'm going to say it now. Because I feel like the Lord just told me to say it. The enemy has no power over you. The only thing he can do is he can't create anything. He can only pervert. And how does he pervert? It's how you look at it. For the pure, all things are pure. But if he can get you, when you're in this season of transition, in this season of crisis, if to get you to look at it through the lens of disappointment. Then all of a sudden, by faith, calamity comes. Do you know how psychics work? Here's how they work. They work off a familiar spirit.
Yeah.
And then they release a curse. And they say, oh, I see calamity coming. Bad things are coming. You need another session. And for $500, I'll help you. And by your faith, you've released the enemy into your life. You put faith in the curse, and now you go to the witch doctor for, I'm sorry, the psychic for the solution. They didn't create anything. You viewed it through the eyes of calamity. So calamity comes. See, so many of you, you're not going to go to a psychic and pay money to a witch doctor. But through the lens of your past, you viewed your crisis as calamity. Instead of saying things are hard right now, something amazing must be coming. Wow, I'm in a phase of crisis right now. This is an amazing opportunity for Jesus to shine on the inside of me. Wow, there's strife in my house. This is an amazing time to praise Jesus in every room. To touch every door and every window and to bring praise into this house. This is a great opportunity to displace some of the enemy. Oh, that person sinned against me. This is an amazing time to show love. I get to love in a dark place. I mean, a lot of missionaries in this room want to go to Africa. I'm sorry, I meant in the church. A lot of people, I want to go to Africa, I want to go to South America, I want to go to... Yes, absolutely, but right here in your family needs love. Right here in your family needs love. You want a mission field? Welcome to your family. I want to reach the heart to reach people. Yes, your family. That takes courage. I find it easy to minister to strangers. It's hard to be vulnerable to people who've already rejected us. Yeah? So stand with me. Let's pray. And then I'm going to release you. And I'm going to get ready to go in. Marco, why don't you come up? Lucas, are you available? Lily? We're going to sing in a second, but I'll bless you. You can go and then we'll sing. But Father, I thank you for these people here right now. Ha. Holy Ghost. Come on, lean in. Holy Ghost, thank you for what you're doing in our hearts. We don't want to run anymore. There's someone in here, you actually have a hip problem. And you thought this was kind of funny. It's your right hip, and it's actually, the pain is also in the lower right part of your back, and it radiates your right hip. And the Lord is going to heal you. But there's distance that you have between you and a loved one. And you need to purpose in your heart that you're going to heal that rib. You see, I like what God keeps us from running, but I want to be able to run. So the goal is to obey Jesus so we don't have to touch your hip. That wasn't God's original plan, to make him walk with a limp. But God will give you a limp to remind you to show love. For me, if I could just be honest, at the end of a message here, turn him up a little bit. I about lost my mind. That's what it took for the Lord to do a work of grace in me. Now I walk with a limp. I don't ever want that to happen again. Are you with me?
Yes.
So maybe a traumatic something happened to you. You're walking with a limp. Hallelujah. God's grace now can abound in your life. Father, we want to be people of grace and love who fulfill your purpose on the earth. Hallelujah, Jesus.